So Isaiah 43, I want to speak the subject, and it's a wonderful thought. And I enjoyed the conference. Wow, did I enjoy that. It was wonderful. The men just beat up on each other all the whole time. And one guy said, I'm going to try so much to beat Pastor. And if he had, we would have had beatpastor.com. But he was all fired up to beat. I don't think he did, though. But anyway, I hear your pastor is very competitive. Is that true? How many think he ought to play me one-on-one sometime in the future? That'd be blessed. One pastor did, and he served. It went away from me. He got the first point, and he said the game's over. Into one, he sat down. All right, Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Everybody say those words real loud. Fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by my name, thou art mine. Fear is not meant for any moment. You say, well, how can I go through life and never fear? How could that possibly happen? Now, this is cutting in and out, I think, so crank me up louder there, or maybe I'll have to use it. Give me another one. Okay. Can you hear me all right in the back? They're sleeping in the back, so they're probably not hearing me. 100,000 miles of blood vessels in our body. Think about that for a minute. To put that in perspective, the distance around the earth is 25,000 miles. So making the distance, your blood vessels could travel laid end to end more than 4 times around the earth. What a God who has made us and formed us. Thank you so much.
Test, test.
So God made us and formed us in an amazing way. 1.5 million barrels of blood pumped through our vessels could fill 200 tank cars in a lifetime. And God says, I've formed you. The God who created everything formed us. And we were formed because God said, you're mine. God wanted us to be his. Amazing. So when we realize how personal God is, we never have to worry because he's interested in every personal thing that happens to us. How many are glad God is a personal God? And we are wonderfully made, the Bible says. Now, and it's crazy for anybody to say they're an atheist. You heard about the atheist that got mad and said, I'm an atheist and I thank God for it. I mean, that's just how silly it is, right? Unbelievable. Now, Elijah could pray down fire from heaven, then he feared a wicked woman. I mean, we all will fear at times in life, but how do you get rid of fear? Recognize you're never alone. For God says, you are mine. Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. And listen to this. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, we're weak, but God is always there to be personal to us. I mean, think about the verse, when he putteth forth. In fact, go to this one. Go to John 10. Sometimes it helps to see it and hear it. But I'm going to quote a lot of verses, but I want you to see this one, because this one is incredible. Look at John 10:4. I'm going to teach now on how to get rid of fear, to where you'd never have to fear again in your whole life. Now, wouldn't that be something? In John 10:4, this is what he says. And if you see this and believe it, how many believe everything God says is true? So in John 10:4, when he says this, it's true. When he putteth forth his own sheep, that's those that are Christians. The goats are the fake, but the sheep are always referred to as the true Christian that's born again. So when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, if you saw what I saw, God is in front of us, and he's before us, and he's there before we get there. Now, if we really believe that, then every single time I've gone on a volleyball court, God was helping me and strengthening me before the game started. See, because God was in this pulpit right now preaching this message before I got here. If that's the case, I just got to catch up with him and be there when he's there. And if he's in front of me, the word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So this is a light, and it has a flashlight in it. If I turned it on, you would see spots. Some of them are pretty strong flashlights. But if I was to cast, as they did in the Old Testament, this is, the word is a lamp. How many believe this is the greatest lamp anybody could ever have? And how many believe our nation needs to get back to what can guide them? When I was in Washington, D.C., I told a whole bunch of leaders, congressmen, everything. I said, if we're going to make America great again, we got to get the lamp back again. We got to get the Bible back again. Because what they did in the Old Testament is they cast the words behind their backs. Now, how silly would it be to put a light behind your back? So if I turn this flashlight on in the midst of darkness and I put it like this and I tried to walk, how many would think Evangelist Bob Holmes has gone insane? Raise your hands. Because a lamp is supposed to be in front of us. So God has a way of showing us things that if we recognize that he's in front of us, we will never have to worry again. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. So when you cast something out, why reel it back again? If God is there before you get there, why take your burdens back again, cast them out there, and leave them there? When you cast something, you're not supposed to hang on to it. You're supposed to let it go. So what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. If we could recognize this and realize this, then we would see that we can't solve our own problems, but the one who's gone the pathway before us, I had to go through a foot of snow to get here. I got up at 6 a.m. to get to the men's retreat, and I drove in pouring rain for 8 hours. Then it became heavy snow for 4 hours, and it was just unbelievable. But God was in that pathway, plowing that snow before my little Toyota Prius got there. And if I really believe this, now follow this close, so incredible. If I never had a problem, I'd know that God could solve them. Never knew what faith in God could do. How many are glad we can still have faith in God? Now, if you believe that, shout amen. If not, I'll lengthen the sermon for every person that doesn't say amen. How many believe God can do anything? Amen. Now, if we believe this and we recognize that he's in front of us, I thank God for the mountains. I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he brought me through. How could he bring me through? Because he was in the storm before I got there. He brought me through. If I never knew that God could solve him, never knew what faith in God could do. Behold, he smote the rock and waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore, the Lord heard this when they were saying, they saw miracles and they said, can God really provide flesh for his people? And therefore, the Lord heard this. Now you say, when you fear and worry, how does God react to our worry? He gets absolutely, listen to this, he gets furious at our, you mean just for worrying? Listen to this. The Lord heard this. What did they hear? Can God provide flesh? Listen, therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, so a fire kindled against Jacob, and anger came upon Israel. The wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. Why was he angry? Because it says in the next verse, for this they sin still and believe not for his wondrous works. Now that is an amazing thing to think about. That if God gets angry when I worry, I better not worry. I better not worry. Because when I worry, I'm an atheist while I'm worrying. While I'm worrying, I'm an atheist. And I don't want to be an atheist. For God hath not given us the spirit of, everybody, fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So God looks at my worry as angry as he would look at me going to a palm reader to try to figure out my future. Because God says, if I'm there before you get there, you don't need the palm reader. I'm the one in charge. I'm the one who's guiding your steps. How many believe God deserves credit? God deserves glory. So fear, listen to this now, fear accuses what God already knows already. Now, I can go in front of, I had a 16,000 at one event, and I was just as relaxed as I could be. But when I go in a hospital room and somebody's sick, I am trembling. There are certain times I tremble. One of them, and now don't ask me why, but when I go to a drive-through, I am as nervous as I don't know what. I actually shake in my voice at a drive-through. My daughters are telling me what they want to order. And one time I was at Dunkin' Donuts and said, they want a caffeinated caffy. I just didn't know what to say. And I, at one drive-through, I said, this order is to go. And for some reason, I just stumble at a drive-through. But when I go in a hospital room, I'm nervous because I know whatever I say is so vital to that person. And often we'll say, God is with you. Now, what do we mean by that? He was in this hospital room before you got in this hospital room. Because he's in front of us. Now, why worry when he's there first? I have been young, now I'm old, and have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Listen to this. When Jesus is all you have, you'll find out he's enough. Look around, you'll be distressed. Look within, you'll be depressed. But look to the Lord, you'll be at rest. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Everybody scream, leave it there. Leave it there. Rest in the Lord when God seems slow to act. One man said, I'm upset because I'm in a hurry and God isn't. You can't hurry the sunrise and you can't stop it either. One boy sat up all night wondering where the sun went and finally it dawned on him. Some of you are just getting it. If this sermon's long, it's your fault for waiting to laugh. Now, God is before us. Now, I'm about to get excited. All your anxiety, all your care. How much of it? All of it. Listen to that again. All your anxiety, said the hymn, all your care, bring to the mercy seat, leave it there. Wow. Never a burden he cannot bear, never a friend like Jesus. How many believe he's a friend who sticks closer than a brother? So why worry? Now, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? In other words, if I worry, it's not going to help me. Now, how tall are you, Brother Tom? 5'8". Now, I want you to look at your leg right now and scream, get bigger.
Get bigger.
Get longer.
Get longer.
Because I want to play basketball and beat Pastor.
I want to play basketball. I do want to beat him.
Now, you'd say, what good would it do to scream at your legs? You can't add one thing to your stature. And so, what he's saying is, why should you worry? It's just as silly as trying to add to your stature. Now, it is absolutely what's impossible to man can be possible with God. How many believe that? He said, no, it doesn't look like it's possible on the earth. That could not happen. O Lord, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven and earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why? Because God brings peace. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. You mean 2018? I don't care if it's 2070. God is alive. Now, Jesus Christ is with me for every period of my life. Every moment I'm going through my life, he's there in front of me. And if I'll just put the word in front of me, the word is a lamp to my feet. And if I just do what Pastor preaches, and I get the next truth, and it's a light for the next step, and the next step, and the next step, before long, I got a path. And that pathway never fails when you're following God's blueprint. How many are glad this works? And so if you follow it, now listen to this. There are 7 periods that you go through in your life. Spills, drills, thrills, bills, ills, pills, and then wills. And God is with you through every one of them. So when I worry, now listen to this, it's very powerful. When I worry, I am accusing God. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. How many are glad Jesus deserves no accusations? So when I'm worrying, I'm accusing the Lord. Now, there are statements that you will never hear God ever say. Oh, no! Oh, I didn't know that would happen. You're kidding. There's no way out. What are we going to do if there's a collapse in the economy? How am I going to feed the next sparrow? You'll never hear God say this. So fear accuses God and charges him with a fault. Now, I would not shake my fist at God and say, God, you can't do this. But maybe in my ingenuity I can figure out a way. And if I shake my fist at God, I'm like those that when they cried out, crucify him. Well, I find no fault. And then they exceeding louder said, crucify him. So as a Christian, as a believer, I do not want to accuse God of having a fault. I want to trust and believe. Why do you say without faith it is impossible to please God? Without faith it is impossible to please God. Why? Because God says you're accusing me. You might as well just go over here to the fortune teller and find out what the fortune cookie says at the Chinese restaurant, because after all, that has more to say than me. And so, listen, I do not want to find fault with God. God doesn't deserve accusation. He deserves trust. Now, this is why it's so important. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I'll maintain my ways before him. So why? Because we do not want, when trials come especially, to accuse him. I'm preaching to myself. Everything can go right and one thing goes wrong, and I'll exalt that one thing and just keep my eyes on that one thing and look at the problem instead of looking at the problem solver who's there knowing the problem before I even found the problem, because he's in front of me. If you're with me, raise your hands. If not, I'm starting over. Okay, so this is important. There will be many who will say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their corn and wine increased. Why? Because I don't have to see the corn and wine. I have to see God. And I have to say, God, if I have lack, you know I have lack. So whatever state I'm in, there I'll be content. So, God, you know it all. You're there. But many will say, oh, yeah, show us any good. But I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. Sleep? In 2018, sleep? I will lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, makest me to dwell in safety. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. It is God who girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. How many believe he's wonderful? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You say, how's he going to deliver me out of this one? You don't know what I'm going through. Now! But we're dealing with a God who is an eternal God. We're dealing with a God who is a forever God. A God who doesn't think like we do in time frame. And that's why he can get there before I get there. I got to tell you this story. I was going to wait till the service. I'm going to tell it to you now. I was in Charlotte, North Carolina. And a businessman came to one of my assemblies and saw the kids responding. He said, this is needed. Kids are killing themselves. They need this. 3 months later, I called him on the phone, and I said, I'd love to come to Charlotte. There's over 100 middle and high schools in the surrounding area. I said, I'd love to come. Would you be willing to show my video to the superintendent of the Charlotte schools? You say, where was he listening to your voicemail when he opened it up? Ready for this? He was in Phoenix, Arizona, listening to me saying, would you please show my video to your superintendent in Charlotte? He put the phone down after listening to it and looked up, and in came the superintendent of the Charlotte schools 2,000 miles away. And you want to know something else that was incredible? He was scheduled to sit with him on the airplane. You say, how could that happen? God was in that airport terminal before he listened to the voicemail. It's exciting. How many think it's exciting to be a Christian? It is supernatural. What's that mean? Above the natural. This is so incredible. If the Christian life is supernatural, then in the natural, I don't have to worry because the supernatural God is handling everything. He's running a whole universe. So woe be unto me, little creature, trying to figure it all out. Right? I would seek unto God, and God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable marvelous things without number, who giveth rain upon the earth and sendeth waters upon the fields. My faith has found a resting place. Please say resting place like you mean it. My faith has found a what? Resting place. If you don't think you can rest, then quit shaking your fist at God. We need to believe God never sleeps. Now, in the Bible, this says actually here, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Now, I've got to ask you a question. How many of you right now have your heart beating? Raise your hands. You better raise your hand, or we're going to get the ambulance in here. You have your heart beating because somebody is keeping you alive. How many believe it's God keeping you alive? You're not saying, come on, heart, next beat. So, follow me. He that keepeth thee will not slumber or sleep. I read that and I said, wow. God never takes a vacation from us. You never find God asleep. You'll never get a voicemail from God. I took one trip, Pastor. I made 95 phone calls and got 93 voicemails. But am I glad God never gives you push one if you need me bad, push two if you really somewhat need me. Now, you've been in handshaking services. What I'm so thankful for is that my God is focused on me. Now, what do I mean by this? If God knew me now, follow this thought. God knew me before the foundations of the earth. That means that God has thought about me forever. Now, I've got to ask the question. Would you mind helping me for a moment? Come on up here. What's your name? Kevin. Okay, how many of you know Kevin? Raise your hands. How many wish you did not know Kevin? Okay, how you doing? I love the tie. So, Kevin, right now, is known by God so personally. Now, you won't mind because of your age. How old are you?
I'm 21.
21. Oh, to be 21. Okay, so he's 21 years old. Now, how long have you gotten to know yourself?
I guess I'm still learning.
But how many years have you gotten to know yourself?
Probably my whole life.
There you go, except maybe when you were an infant. Even then you were starting to get to know yourself. So around 20 years, he's gotten to know himself. Now think about this for a minute. God has known him zillions of years. And the Bible says in some, we won't go to it, but it says, I've thought about you more than the sand. If God thought about him more than the sand, that means, ready for this? If you counted one handful of sand and counted every pebble in your handful of sand, it would take a while. But count every pebble of sand on the whole planet, and you'd say, well, that would take quite a while. God's thought about him more than the sand. You say, how could he think about him as much as with thoughts of every pebble of sand on the whole earth? Because God has known him forever. He knew him before. God didn't just all of a sudden say, well, I guess I'll create. What was your name again?
Kevin.
I guess I'll just, the last minute. Hey, good idea to have Kevin here. Come on, Kevin. No, God knew he was going to be here forever. Now, if we really believe this and know that God never sleeps or slumbers and that you don't have to make an appointment with God, God will never say, well, I got all these people to deal with today. Now, God knew him much. You say, well, how can God think of billions of people more than the sand? Because he's God, and he's had a whole eternity to do it. Follow me. If you fear God and depart from evil, okay? If you fear God and depart from evil, you'll have health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Now, how many believe that every word in the Bible is there on purpose? Now, it says that if he fears God and departs from evil, he'll have marrow to the bones. We all understand that. Show him the beef. What? There you go. Okay? We understand what the beef is, right? The strength and the marrow. But when it says he'll have health to his navel, I got thinking that belly button is there, and I thought to myself, every word is on purpose. So if it says he'll have health to his navel, I better stop and think why he put the word navel there. Then it came to me. Were you ever inside the belly of your mother?
I believe so.
All right, and you were being formed through the umbilical cord as your mother ate. She ate, and food would come and start forming your feet and your legs and your hands and your fingers. And you were being formed in the belly of your mother while she ate peanut butter and pickles. So it was coming here. She went to McDonald's quarter pounder and ate that. And if there's any nourishment in a quarter pounder with cheese, it was feeding. I found out that somebody had a quarter pounder sitting on a desk for 2 years, and it looked the same after 2 years because of all the chemicals. I said, I'm never eating a McDonald's hamburger again. But anyway, the nourishment came and was forming Kevin. So from right here where you are, face me. To the edge of this pew will be 9 months. Slowly come toward me. Your mother's eating, okay? Now your eyebrows, yeah, your eyes are being formed, your nose, and so. Now, keep coming. Now you're about 4 months. Keep coming. And now you're about 9 months, and you're ready to drop to this earth. You have just fallen to the earth. Scream! We now have a stillborn baby. Scream! Strangest baby I've heard in my whole life. Okay, so now he's born. He is now here on this earth. He's here. Okay, if God could form the first 9 months of his life, if he fears God and departs from evil, he'll have health to his navel. So what he's saying is, if I can form you for 9 months through a belly button, don't you think I can form the rest of your life? Now you're 21, so we'll call this right here 21 years old. And God has placed you here at 21. I believe God has a plan for the rest of his life. Thank you so much. Appreciate you coming up here. Now, if we can get a hold of this thought, then Kevin never has to worry. Why? Because he didn't worry in the womb. Come on, liver, I need more of you to develop now. Brain, come on. No. God did it without any intervention from him except getting the nourishment through the umbilical cord. Now, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Happy is a man who finds wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Now, if you don't do them, then you got something to worry about because the blueprint's not being followed. And if God's going to go in front of us, we have to put his word in front of us because Jesus is the word. And he's also the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness because they won't have the flashlight behind them, but shall have the light of life. So we put the light in front of us and we say, Pastor, I need what you're preaching today because I want to put the flashlight in front of me. I don't want to cast it behind my back and go out like nothing was preached. I want to hear it, I want to do it, because I'm going to be happy if I do it. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Behold, we count them happy which endured. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that he's very pitiful and of tender mercy. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Do you mean to tell me that God wants to make me happy? Fear not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. Wow. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You mean when I'm going through something, I can cast it, and even though I don't understand it? Why is this happening now? I just faced something yesterday. So here's what we need to do. Follow me. Think more about how big God is to solve the problem than the problem itself. Discouragement, I read this today and I said, wow! Discouragement means broken courage. Discouragement is broken courage. You say, well, I may get there, but I just don't know how I'm going to get there. Because all the things that are happening right now are keeping me from getting to my dream. Now, here it is. If it's my dream, it may not possibly be everything God wants for me. So what I've got to do is say, if I'm never going to be discouraged, I'm always going to have courage then. If I have broken courage, then I won't go anywhere because I don't have the courage to get there. Me to the rock that is higher than I. Everybody say, God is higher than I am. And if you understand that, then you will not follow your own steps. You'll say, God, I got to have you all the time. Because I'm prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. So discouragement is broken courage. So it is hard to move forward when you don't have courage. True? Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not. Isn't it interesting? He said fear not right after he said have good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, it is he that goeth with thee, and he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of a good courage, not discouraged, broken courage, but of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord thy God has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. In other words, I'm with you wherever you're going. Because remember, I was in front of you. I was there and I wanted you to catch up. I didn't want you to fear the enemies and the giants. I wanted you to go forward with courage. Because I was already there winning your battles, but you didn't come to me and catch up to me. You kept thinking, oh, why should I be positive? Look at all the stuff going on. There's too many giants and Amalekites. Be of good courage and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people, for the cities of our God, and let the Lord do that which is good in his sight. And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. How many believe God has a plan for this church? You see, we don't know all the stuff we've been through. Listen, say to yourself this. Say to yourself, if I have broken courage, we won't move forward. If all we do is look at discouragements and things that have happened to break courage, then if you don't have courage, you don't go in the promised land because the giants are too big. So be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So what happened to me in one of my meetings recently? Drove 7 hours, ran out of gas. I'll tell you the story later. The men know about it. And drove 7 hours there and 7 hours back. And I had some major bills. You say, well, what was the love offering after the expenses were paid? $50. $50. The object of my faith was, well, how am I going to pay the bills now? Because man gave me $50. So the object of my faith was man. And when I prepared this morning, God showed me that I was sinning because my faith was in man and God is my provider. How many believe the object of our faith ought to be God and not man? In the early days of Dallas Theological Seminary was a critical need of $10,000 to keep the work going. During a prayer meeting, a renowned Bible teacher, Harry Ironside, prayed, "Lord, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Please sell some of these cattle and send money to help us meet this need." Shortly after the prayer meeting, a check for $10,000 arrived at the school, sent days earlier by a friend who had no idea of the urgent need of Ironside's prayer, "Sell some cattle." The man simply said the money came from the sale of his cattle. Amazing. Now, listen to this as I finish. You say, how are we going to have more courage? Now, how many believe you can do a lot more when you have courage? When you're encouraged. So I looked up that word this morning, and I found something amazing. How do you break discouragement? How do you break what's broken so that it's no longer broke? You encourage. What's encourage mean? En means to put in or make. So I am to make somebody else have courage by putting courage in that person about God. Increasing courage comes when I help someone else get encouraged. Look at the person next to you right now and say, I want to encourage you. Go ahead. Because you look so discouraged. Now, what do you mean by I want to encourage you? It means I want to put some courage in you to keep using your faith. You went to that nursing home several years ago, and boy, did you bless those nursing home people. They had people they hadn't, relatives they hadn't seen for years, and God used you. Keep it up. You know what I'm doing? I'm putting courage in him. How many believe the church needs more courage? Now, how do we get it? We encourage each other. No, not to worry, not to fear, but to encourage. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But then he says right after that, exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So what's the answer? Oh, I gotta provoke somebody, encourage somebody else. Why? Because there could be an evil disbelief in God unless I'm encouraged. And it was my prayer, oh God, please encourage those men. It took a hard time getting here. And I said, Lord, when I'm there, God, please use me like you helped me get the trip done. Now, go to Hebrews 10, and I've got to finish. But look at this, Hebrews 10, 24. Pastor said I could preach till 3. But anyway, Hebrews 10, 24. I'll be finished in about 5 minutes. Hebrews 10, 24, and I'm going to close with this. This is so incredible to think about. In Hebrews 10 and verse 25, you've all heard this verse before. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Look up at me. How many of you have ever heard that before? What does it mean? Keep going to church? Because you need to have church. Don't forsake it. Now, that's what's preached most of the time. But we don't preach what come right before that and what comes right after that. What came before it? In verse 24, he says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Then he says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because you can't provoke each other to love and good works if you're only watching a TV preacher. You with me? So come together so you can provoke each other to love and good works. Then what does he say right after he says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together? He says, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, he starts out by saying, provoke each other to love and good works. Then he says, be sure you're not forsaking coming together. And then he says, exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why? Because we all need encouragement. We all need more courage. So, do you mean to tell me that if I go through that door right back there And I walk into this church building, and I sit down, and I hear beautiful music with melody and harmony, and I hear Pastor preach a sermon, and I get up and leave. Don't you dare tell anybody you had church. You say, what do you mean by that? You're supposed to come together to encourage each other. So if you haven't encouraged somebody, you haven't been to church yet. You haven't had church yet. The church is a body, and we're all weak. How many would agree we're all weak? So what you ought to say is, I'm weak, and I need you, brother. And I need to help you, too. Well, I'm not going to take his encouragement, because he's not a spiritual person. I saw him kick his car the other day. Now, everybody kicks a car, a Ford especially, seven times a day. He said, I can't take his encouragement. No, the truth is, we're all in an unredeemed body, and we need each other's encouragement. So he says, when you go to church, increase each other's courage. Follow this thought. When you go to church, you are not going to a performance where something is done up front and you're being entertained like a show. If church was a performance where you go to hear music, hear a message, get and say, what an interesting sermon. I was entertained by the interest and by the amazing content you gave, and it was good food for thought. No, it's not food for thought. It's food that's going to change me and increase my courage. So when I go to church now, follow me this way, I am not going to a Shamu whale show and watching some whales. No, I just called your pastor a whale. Last time I'll ever preach here. No. You're not going into church to go to a show. When you go to a whale show, you see something going on up front. How many believe the body of Christ is different than going to a whale show? Now, follow me carefully on this, because it's convicting, and the quieter you get, the longer I am going to go. If church is a performance where somebody gets entertained, and that's why entertaining churches have 10,000 people coming all the time, but no preaching, right? Because they're not going to encourage, they're going to get entertained. When you go and hear a speech, someone gives a speech like the president, you haven't had church. When you go to Shamu Whale Show, you haven't had speech. The church is a body. A body comes together and needs to function. In a show, the audience has no part with the other onlookers. The audience is there to watch something. And since the church many times has become now, even in independent Baptist churches, we have become sort of like a entertained bunch of people. And we come to church. But if in a show, you're sitting there enjoying whatever's going on up front, and the ambulance comes in and pulls somebody out, you're going to sit there and have a curiosity. I wonder if his heart isn't working. I wonder maybe what happened to him. Maybe he's not breathing good. Now you have a curiosity, but not an involvement. Now, when you go to church, if you are just wondering about the person over there, but you haven't encouraged that person for years, why don't you say to yourself, boy, I know I need encouragement, and I want to give encouragement because I know our church needs more courage. I want to have real church. Because we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. You mean I'm relatives with that person? Brother Tom, are you saved? You know what? I'm an actual relative of yours. Relatives treat each other differently than you treat somebody else in the audience in a show. Right? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit. You're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and in you and through you all. Now in the audience, we're not saying I'm part of these people around me. I'm not looking at all those people watching the same show saying, well, I guess they're all relatives of mine. But when we have real church, we're to encourage each other. There's so much more I want to say. Isn't it amazing how clocks go ahead of our sermons? Everybody turn around, look at that clock, and say you are demon-possessed. I appreciate you listening. I hope it's been an encouragement to where it's increasing courage. Father, I thank you for that we don't have to fear. Thank you that you are a God who's in front of us when we're wondering how we're going to make it through. And we've often heard songs written on He Made a Way and He'll Make a Way for You and all of those songs. But Lord, we really believe with all of our hearts today that you've got a plan for us. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you have been encouraged to know that you are personal to God and He cares about you and has thought about you more than the sand? And therefore, I'm going to pray that God helps me not to fear and not to be discouraged. Raise your hands. Wonderful. Father, I pray that we would realize that once this Sunday school message is over, something could happen even between now and the next service. And help us to provoke one another to love and good works consistently so that we can keep encouraging each other in this dark hour we're living in. And Lord, as I go into the next service and talk about waiting upon God, I pray that you'd help us to realize that we can wait upon you to do mighty things. I'm going to ask why your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if Pastor would come and just close the Sunday school out in prayer and ask God to help us all not to fear. And again, I was preaching to me, and I hope it meant something to you. Thanks.